We're going to continue today in our study of 1 Peter, and we're actually, I think, going to wrap up the verses we've been doing for the last month. I think we're going to wrap them up today. I think. We'll see. So 1 Peter, if you haven't been around, if you're relatively new, or even today might be your first Sunday, 1 Peter is a letter that was dictated to Silas by the Apostle Peter, and it was to believers who were scattered around in the Roman Empire in the province of what we today would call Turkey. There was five provinces, five states that made up that area. And they were under persecution. They were suffering difficulties and hardship. And he was writing to them to try and encourage them to stay true, to stay faithful, to keep hanging on to Jesus, keep following him, keep being obedient. And that's what he was trying to do. He's trying to encourage them. And he gives very practical instructions. And the practical instructions are helpful to us because all of us are trying to figure out how do we live the truth in a very, very deceived world. I mean, that's what we're constantly trying to figure out, is how do I live the truth in this world that is so deceived? And that line kind of, I drove to Pasco a couple weeks ago for some meetings I had to be at, and that line just caught me, and I just been chewing on it. And it was just something that came into my mind. I guess the Lord dropped it in there, but living the truth in a deceived world, that's what we're called to do. And so, I know, I just had you sit down. Let's stand one more time. And we're going to read this. I think this will be the last time we read this passage. I think. Okay? I think I'm going to get through it today. But I want us to read it out loud again and hopefully to help you catch the flow of the where we're going to be on our application today. So let's read it out loud together. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king. Jesus, speak to our hearts today, and I pray you'd help me. I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Again, I wanted you to read it out loud so we could, again, just grab a hold of the flow. He says, for the Lord's sake, and I'm going to repeat that line a few times today. For the Lord's sake, because we don't know what the Lord's doing, because we don't know what God's up to, because he's the one who is the author of history, that's why we obey him. That's why we do what he tells us to do, because he's the one who knows where history's going. He's the one who knows what he's trying to do in our lives and the lives of people around us. So for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. And then he says these things. He says, submit to human authority, which we've talked about, live honorable lives, which we talked about, being free, and but you're God's slaves, don't abuse your freedom. And then we're going to hit the last verse. I think we're going to finish it today. But this last verse, which is really where the rubber meets the road, using that idea. This is the application of all of what we've looked at so far. For the Lord's sake, submit to governing authorities. For the Lord's sake, as we go through that thing, live honorable lives. For the Lord's sake, you're free, but you're God's slaves. Don't abuse your freedom. And then here's what he says, and there's four applications, four homework assignments for us, lifelong homework assignments. So here's how it goes. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, respect the king. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, respect the king. So that's our homework assignment. Okay, so let's talk about each one of them. He says, and again, all of these are for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, respect everyone. For the Lord's sake, live honorable lives. For the Lord's sake, don't abuse your freedom. And for the Lord's sake, respect the king. Okay, for all of them, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. And so he says the first homework assignment is respect everyone. When he's talking about respect here, I'm going to make a differentiation. He's not talking about the respect in the sense that, you know, we respect someone and then we do what they tell us to do. Or we respect someone and we trust them. Okay? So that's one sort of respect. So I would say, you know, Greg's sitting down here, and Greg knows this, I have high, high respect for Greg. Okay? I trust him. If Greg speaks something into my life, I take it very, very seriously. Okay? So that's a type of respect. That's not what he's referring to here. Some translations use the word honor. So it says honor everyone, respect everyone. What he's using is the idea of that we are called to be, and I have a whole list here, to be courteous, to be polite, to be kind, to recognize that people are stamped with the image of God upon them. That's what we're called to do. We're to look at every single person we see and realize they have the image of God. Even as faded as it might be, even as sometimes hidden it might be, like, okay, it's hard to even, you know, kind of like, I don't, you know, don't see it all that clearly. It's there, okay? And we're called to respect people in that way. We're to respect people who hate God. We're to respect people who hate God's people. We're to respect people who mistreat God's people. We're to respect people who make our life hard. We're to respect people who make other people's lives hard. He says respect what? Everyone. That's kind of an all-encompassing word, isn't it? Everyone. Respect everyone. And you know, it's not our job to pick and choose who we respect. It's interesting that God's made this pretty easy for us, because he just says, respect everyone. It's like, I don't have to figure out who do I respect and who do I not respect. Again, I'm not talking about trust here. I'm not talking about obey. I'm not talking about who I loan money to. I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking about treat everyone with courtesy, treat everyone with kindness, treat everyone with what? Respect. Okay? Because the image of God, even the most tainted, the image of God is there. So do I not have any slides? Are they not up? Okay, so I got a really long quote by C.S. Lewis here. He says this: it's a serious thing to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature if you saw it now, you would strongly be tempted to worship. Or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. He says, every person you talk to, we'll finish the quote here in a minute, but he says, every person you talk to one day will be of sort that if you saw them, you would think, I need to worship this person. Or they would be so horrible that it would be like a nightmare, kind of nightmarish. Okay, that's what he's saying. He says, all day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or other of these destinations. Either helping them transform to be something so amazing or causing them to diminish to be something that is a nightmarish kind of a thing, is what he's saying. He says, it is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with awe and circumspection, which is an old word, but it basically means caution or prudence. So it is with awe and prudence proper to them that we should conduct all our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. It's immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. He says, respect everyone. Because by respecting everyone, we are helping them and can be helping them to become what they may not become without our help in loving them and respecting them. Or on the other side, if we disrespect them and are unloving towards them, who knows what the end result becomes. That's what C.S. Lewis is talking about. See, Jesus died for every person you will ever lock eyes with. every single person you ever will lock eyes with. You know, you're driving down to Harborview and you drive up to the James Street exit, and you take the exit and then you turn left and head up the hill to Harborview or one of the hospitals on Pill Hill. And there's always people there panhandling. And every person you lock eyes with that is panhandling is made in the image of God. And Jesus died for them. Every single person. That's what he's talking about. When he says respect everyone, that's what he's referring to. You know, in the 1500s, or 16th century, but in the 1500s, John Bradford, he's the one attributed with these words. He says, "There, but for the grace of God," how's it go? Go I. "There, but for the grace of God, go I." Because it's really easy. It's really easy to begin to think, you know, and he's trying to point this picture and just the idea, if it wasn't for God's grace in my life, I would be X, Y, or Z. See, it's really easy to start getting the attitude that we are who we are because of who we are. So just follow with me here for a second. That sound might like, what? It's easy to start thinking we are who we are because of who we are. That somehow I'm the person I am, I'm who I am, I'm where I am, somehow because of something inside of me. And then it causes us to look at someone else and go, well, they are who they are because of something inside of them. Everybody understand what I'm pointing out here? That somehow, you know, somehow I've got something going for me. I got something inside of me that makes me who I am, and they got something inside of them that makes them who they are. And it really becomes this kind of an arrogant idea that inside of me, I'm a winner. And I am who I am, and I'm where I'm at because inside of me, there's a winner. And Gene said I shouldn't pick on him today, so I'm going to pick on Scott, okay? That somehow inside of Scott, there's a loser. That's why he's where he's at. Okay? Now, Scott knows I love him, and it's not true, but I could pick on him. But somehow we start to begin to think that I am who I am because of who I am. I'm where I'm at. I'm who I am. I got going for me because of something inside of me, innate, like inside of me, innate inside of me. And somehow, what if I walked in their shoes? What if I had the people that raised them, the people that didn't love them, the people that spoke things into their life, instead of speaking life, spoke death into their life? What if all those things were to occur? Would I still be who I am? Or is it possible that if I had the people that they had in their lives, I would be where they are? And if they had the people in their life that I had in my life, they would be where I am and who I am. Are y'all with me? See, we start to think that somehow this is all about, because I just got something really good inside of me. But the truth is, you did not choose your ancestors. About a year and a half ago, I went to the doctor for my physical, and my doctor said, you know, you have some elevated blood pressure. I said, what? And he said, yeah, you have an elevated blood pressure, and we need to do something about this. And he said, so you need to start tracking it. And so he said, you get into a blood pressure thing and start tracking your blood pressure and, you know, taking note of it. And he said, but keep doing what you're doing. Keep exercising, keep, you know, watching your diet, all those kinds of things. But you got elevated blood pressure. I worked on it, worked on it, worked on it, worked on it. Hibiscus tea. I mean, just all kinds of stuff to try and, you know, keep my blood pressure down. And I went back for my physical a year plus later, and it really hadn't made much improvement. And he said, well, I think we need to put you on a little bit of blood pressure medicine. And I said, what? It can't be. And he said, well, Matt, here's the reality. You're not overweight. You exercise all the time. You have a good diet. You just had bad parents. He said, if you could have had different parents, your blood pressure would not be going through what it's going through. And he knows my family history. And I'm thinking, this is me. I'm thinking, this is about God saying, Matt, you think you're so special. Because all of my siblings, the ones that are all still alive, all of my siblings are on blood pressure medicine. My parents were. All of my siblings are. But not me. Not me. Not going to happen. And God goes, oh, yeah. Okay. See, I didn't choose my ancestors. You didn't choose your ancestors. I didn't choose, and you didn't choose, to be born in the wealthiest country in the world. You didn't choose that. Y'all with me? I mean, it's so easy to start getting these attitudes that somehow this is all about me. You didn't choose to be born with eyes that work and ears that work. You didn't choose. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Becky, who's our church bookkeeper, she's been our bookkeeper for 25 years. She breeds King Charles Spaniels. Recently, she had a litter of 5 puppies were born. And one of them was 3.4 ounces. See that little tiny one in the middle there? And so for time, what she's had to do is she sits there for like 40 minutes, and this would not be me, okay? But she sits there for 40 minutes with her hands on either side of the puppy so that the other ones don't roll on her or push it off the teat so it can keep nursing. And multiple times a day. And the puppy's going to make it. But that puppy had nothing to do with being born the size that puppy is. Y'all with me? It's just how it happens. It's kind of the luck of the draw, or however you want to say it. But it's so easy to get this attitude somehow that this is really kind of about me. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Whatever I am now, it is because God poured his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. He says, I mean, I'm not who I am because of who I am. I am who I am because of God's work in my life. And yeah, I worked hard. I took it seriously. But even then, it wasn't really even me doing it. It was God doing it in me that made me take it seriously. He's even saying, giving him God credit for that. But again, it's so easy to get the attitude that somehow it's in me. So here's the bottom line. Your first homework assignment, my first homework assignment, is treat everyone with respect and honor. Don't call names. Don't label. Don't demean. Don't ignore. Don't pigeonhole or categorize. People are not categories. You're not a category. They're not a category. Well, all Hispanics, all blacks, all Native Americans, all Ukrainians, all Russians, all women, all teenagers, all millennials, people want to categorize. People are not a category, right? You're not a category. I mean, those of you that are, you know, I'm on the very, very end of the boomer generation. And, but a couple years ago, I was like, okay, boomer. That was younger people putting us in a category, putting me in a category, putting those of you that are boomers in a category. Y'all with me? Okay? He says respect everyone. Then he goes on. I think we're going to get through this. He says love the family of believers. Love the family of believers. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. The idea of the family of believers, that's where we get the modern term, the band of brothers. you know, the modern term that's used for the movie, the Band of Brothers, the TV series, all that stuff. Peter is he's just repeating what he heard from Jesus so many times over 3 years that he walked with Jesus. Here's John chapter 13. He says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Francis Schaeffer, who was a philosopher, theologian, you know, in the last century, he actually wrote in one of his writings, he said this, he said, "The world has the right to judge the church based on this idea, that the qualifier is, they will know you are my disciples if you what? Have love for one another." And the church, the world has the right to look, the world has the right to judge based on the criteria that Jesus laid out, that we would love one another. Remember a few minutes ago in what we were just talking about, who we are because of who we are. This British author, Kate Moss, kind of took a different take on the idea, and here's what she said. We are who we are because of those we choose to love and because of those who have loved us. Who we love impacts what happens in our life. And who loves us impacts what happens in our life. Okay? And again, if they had the person loving them who loved me, they would be someone different today. On the other hand, if I hadn't had the people in my life who've loved me and the people I've loved, I would be someone different today. I mean, this is why love in the church among believers is so important. Because when we love one another, we help them to move and become what God intends and who God intends for them to be. On the other side, when we're knuckleheads as believers and we are not doing what God tells us to do and we are not following through on our assignment, then we don't help people become who they're supposed to be. We, in some sense, help them become who they're not supposed to be. So he says, love the family of believers. I mean, I look at it and go, if I had the hateful, bitter, unloving people that some of you have had in your life, and that some of others have had in their life, I can't even imagine who I would be. I mean, if you've been around, you know, I had wonderful parents. I had a wonderful family. I have a wonderful wife and kids. This is a wonderful church. We have loved all the years we've been here. We love this community. And all of that has helped me become who I am. But man, some of the people that I interact with and got even people in the ministry, if I had to go through what they went through, I don't know who I would be. I don't know where I would be. It is so important that we love one another. And we don't just do it for their sake. We do it for what? For the Lord's sake. We do it for the Lord's sake. We do it for the Lord's sake, we do it. He goes on. He says, for the Lord's sake, fear God. Now, we spent time on this a couple Sundays ago, and so you can go back in my blog. The last 5 weeks has been on the fear of the Lord. And 300 times in the scriptures, we're told to fear the Lord. And there's, all, you know, you must always act in the fear of the Lord. 2 Chronicles. Psalm says, come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalm 128 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Proverbs 3 says, "The Lord, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." 1 Peter 1, which we already looked at, you must live in reverent fear. It's just, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. 300 times it's found in the scriptures. This is not fear, just if you haven't caught part of my teaching on this before. This is not fear in the sense of like, you know, I'm afraid of God, you know. This is how I relate it. And some of you have heard me use this illustration, so just bear with me for a second. a woodcutter, a logger, a woodcutter, you know, someone who works on fires, you know, wildfires, all that stuff, they use chainsaws. And when they're doing their job, they love a good chainsaw. A chainsaw that works, a chainsaw that, you know, they love it. But chainsaws are to be respected. They're a wonderful tool. But they are to be respected because they are deadly. And the things they do can be deadly. CDC says 36,000 people a year go to emergency rooms because of chainsaw accidents. I always wonder how many of those are repeats. Because my experience is you do something stupid with, like, I have a cut in one of my boots because my saw kicked back and landed on the toe of my boot. And that, every time I would look down and see that little nick in my boot, reminds me, treat this with respect. Treat this with respect. See, God is the God overall. He's the creator of it all, and one day we will all be judged. He says we are to respect, we are to fear, we are to honor God because of all of that. So I respect him, I obey him, and so on. Then he says, for the Lord's sake, the last one, for the Lord's sake, respect the king. Respect the king. We spent a Sunday on this a few weeks ago, but let me just talk just a little bit more about it. And Paul said it this way, give honor to whom honor is due. Respect the king. You know, in a monarchy or an empire, that means the king or the queen, or maybe the prime minister, king and queen and prime minister, depending upon, you know, who the king, queen, or in our case, the president is. This is much easier to write and read than it is to do. Much, much easier to write and read than it is to do. Y'all with me? It's interesting. There's a whole world of talk shows and late night comedy hosts that make their living disrespecting and dishonoring the president and whoever else is in leadership. There's a whole industry around it. People make a fortune on it. And then it goes around, and, you know, social media, and comes around again, and YouTube, and just, you know, kind of the whole thing. And, you know, for a moment of honesty, this is the hardest of the four assignments for me to do. If I had to give myself a grade, I would say respecting others, I probably get a B. I would say I probably get a B on that. And if I said loving the brothers, I probably get a B on that too, just because I know there's lots of room for improvement. Fear the Lord, I probably get a B on that. But respecting the king, I probably get a D or a D minus, depending upon when the time period is. And maybe you're like I am, but it is hard. You know, I've tried to think over this last week as I've been, you know, and even longer, but tried to think, when was the last time I really respected a president? When was the last time I really, you know, just had respect for the president? Now, I know I'm supposed to. I know I'm commanded to. I know it's my homework. But then, like, he said what? He did what? Are you serious? I mean, like, am I the only one that has this feeling? And I'm not talking just about President Trump. I'm talking about President Biden. I'm talking about Obama. You just go down the line. You're like, they did what? They think what? Now, if I was a British citizen, I would have gotten an A+ when it came to Queen Elizabeth. You know, I remember one time about 15 years ago, I was driving home from Pill Hill and on the freeway, and I was listening to one of the local radio stations, and they used this line. Some of you heard me mention this, because I mentioned it a couple times over the years. That's one of the dilemmas of being you having been in the church for a long time and me having been at the church for a long time, is I repeat myself, okay? But I was driving, and this guy's on the radio, and he goes, "Oh, the Queen Elizabeth and all the monarchy, they're nothing but the Kardashians of the Great Britain." And I wanted just to, like, jump through the radio and choke the guy. Like, "You pompous little idiot." Now, I'm not supposed to categorize people. I'm supposed to respect everyone. But that's kind of like, "Yo, you pompous." Because I'm actually talking to the radio. Do you ever talk to the radio? Okay, I'm talking to the radio. I'm going, "Don't you realize she has met with every prime minister from Winston Churchill on every single week in person or at least on a phone call? Every prime minister reports to her. Every prime minister is in their position because she invited them to form a government. She's not a Kardashian." So if we were in Great Britain, in England, I'd probably get an A+ on this. But I don't get an A+ in America on this. It's the one that I struggle the hardest to be obedient to speak politely, to speak kindly. Y'all with me? Okay. And some of you, anyway. For the Lord's sake, Paul said, for the Lord's sake, submit to all governing authorities, earthly authorities, live honorable lives. You're free, but you're God's slave. Don't abuse your freedom. And then he said, for the Lord's sake, say it with me, for the Lord's sake, say it with me, for the Lord's sake, one more time, for the Lord's sake, respect everyone, okay, respect everyone, treat everyone with kindness. Don't pigeonhole people. Don't categorize people. Love the family of believers. Fear God and figure out how to respect the king. That's mine. That's my assignment for this week. We did it. Took us 5 weeks, but we got through 3 verses. Okay, we... Pray for me this week, okay? This next passage is very, very difficult passage. It has to do with slaves. Has to do with slaves and slavery. Very difficult passage, so pray for me that I can help us understand it next week. Will you do that?
Yes.
Let's stand together. Lord, we're marching out of here in person and online. We're marching out of here with homework of respecting everyone, treating everyone with kindness and courtesy. We're walking out of here with the whole idea that we're to love the family of God because it makes us who we are and it makes them who they are. We're supposed to walk out of here fearing you, respecting you, honoring you because you of who you are, the God of the universe, and that we will one day be judged. And then you tell us to respect and honor those in leadership, the king. And so, God, we pray, help us to be people who are obedient to these very, very practical applications of the truths we've been studying. We need your help, Jesus. And again, any that prayed that prayer today in person or online, Father, pray that you'd do such a powerful work in their lives that they would know that they know. They would know that they know that you're doing something inside of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Greg and Gloria are going to be up here. I'd love to pray with you if you're looking for someone to pray for you. And don't leave here without getting prayed for. God bless you. Have a great day.